Chapter 1. Kimo. Alakskak, later named Alaska, 1532 AD. The Inuit woman, Kanik, held Kimo's arm. He was the most powerful of those who were known as the First People. His tribal name was Taliriktug, which meant strong arm by the Eskimos of Siku. Kanik and Kimo were one, as the Eskimo tribe called a man and woman together. There were 80 people in their village, located to the west, near the big water that did not freeze. Neither the blackness nor bitter cold outside their igloo stopped them from watching the spectacular lights of the Aurora Borealis, what the white people would eventually call the Northern Lights. Eskimos had arrived in Alakskak from coastal Siberia thousands of years before Kanik and Kimo became First People. They spoke the Yupik language, similar to Eskimos in Siberia. Life in the vast frozen tundra of the ancient Northwest was very hard. But the incredibly rugged Eskimos had known nothing but frozen hardships since their ancestors' ancestors. Kimo was the largest and most agile of the men. Because his natural intuitive insight and alacrity, he was also the greatest hunter of them all. He somehow knew when the seals would surface from an ugloo, sea hole in the ice, and he was lightning fast spearing them and dragging them out. Like many Inuit wolf hunters, he would coat his razor-sharp knife with blood from another animal and let it freeze, and then coat it again and again until eventually it was thick with frozen blood. He would then secure the handle firmly in the ice with the blade up. When an ulva, wolf, would smell the bloody blade, he would begin to lick it, slicing his tongue and never knowing it. He would voraciously continue to lick the sharp blade over and over until his tongue was bloody ribbons, unaware of drinking his own blood. He would quickly bleed to death. This had been a practice among Inuit natives for centuries. It seemed a cruel way to watch a mighty animal die, even though it was a common practice. Kimo honored the great wolf and prayed for its soul. As opposed to other animals he hunted, he had visions of a wolf that was his friend and hero in some distant warm time and place. Therefore he cried each time he took the life of a wolf, and he finally decided that this mighty wolf was the last one he would hunt. Kanik would make coats and gloves and mukluks for Kimo and herself from other animals, but from that moment on, he would never hunt Ulva, the wolf, again. When Kanik asked why, he teared up a little and said adamantly, "I know now that the wolf is my friend, and someday I will have a mighty dog like a wolf." She smiled, a knowing smile, and nodded. She wanted to say, "Not in this life," but she didn't, although her premonition was quite right. It was carved in the ice that would never melt, a fact. Kimo provided the food and protection for his woman, and she maintained the igloo, prepared the meals, and kept their surroundings in order. Winters were long and brutal, but it was all they knew. They loved each other and their lives together. When Kimo would return after hours or days in the wild, his loving Kanik would help him remove his heavy bearskin coat, lay him on his back, and remove his wolfskin boots. Then she would pull his padded socks off. Pulling her top up, she would kneel at his feet, revealing her large, full breasts. Moaning loudly and happily, he would lift his tired legs and let her cuddle and warm his feet on her chest. She smiled a huge, adoring smile as he responded with a deep, happy sigh. They were in love. Love made their frozen domain warm in addition to the fire they kept burning with dried animal dung. Kanik, which meant snowflake, and Kimo were spiritual people and often prayed to their god, Aglulik. Aglulik was the good spirit that lived under the ice and helped Kimo with hunting and fishing. There were other gods, but Aglulik was the god they loved the most, and with belief in him they knew they would always have deer and whale blubber and huge trout and other fish.